I'm going to tell you the truth. It is such a good season. It is such a good season. It is such an anointed season for healing. You know, in Ecclesiastes says there are times, and it gives you all these different times there. And I'm going to tell you, more than ever, I believe that this is the time of healing that the church that I have not seen before. I love the thought of healing because it's where I have great faith and I have great strength. Because when healing kicks in and begins to take over, what happens is, see, for us to go where we've never been before, how many of you really, I mean, really believe that? How many of you really believe that God is wanting to take His church, take His people into a level we have never been before? How many of you really believe that? From the depths of your heart, you believe what He's saying. But to go there, we've got to be different people. For us to move into a different season, we've got to be a different type of people. So what we know God is calling in this season, because He has prepared it so perfectly for the church and for our lives, God's poured out a fear of God like I have not seen in my lifetime before. The fear of God has been poured out in the hearts of His church. And I'm going to tell you, that is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. Because the fear of God draws us into the presence of God in such a humble manner that it cleanses us. The Bible says the fear of God, it's a cleanser. It's a cleaner. There's two different ways you approach the fear of God. In Psalms 55, if we get time today, I want to look at it. I don't know if we'll get time. If not, we'll look at it tonight. It says the fear of God cleanses us. And there's such a beautiful picture in that, because the fear of God is, I believe, what God begins to pour, speak, breathe. And He'll let us in as much as we want to get in. He'll let us in as much as we want to get in. And I want the fear of God in my hair, in my feet, in my shoes. I want it in my mouth. I want it on my breath. I want it in every level of my life, because the fear of God cleans me, and the fear of God bursts things in me that only God can do. See, I can't change myself. You might can. I have never found that to be successful ever, one time in my life that I've tried to change myself. I can't do it. I can't. But God can. But God can. God can. So it almost puts us in a really odd position if you look at it from any other direction but healing, that God is trying to take us somewhere we've never been before. He's telling us that we've got to be different people to be there, and we are in completely no control to change ourselves. That almost seems impossible if we did not have a Redeemer. And you've got a Redeemer. It even says this in Hebrews. It said, Jesus came to redeem you. He came to heal you. He came to deliver you. He came so that it is possible that we can be changed. He's the way we get there. He's the way we get there. He's the process. He's the path. And what happens is, we at some point in this process begin to think it's up to me. And I'm here to tell you tonight, it's not up to you. It is not up to you. It is not your responsibility to change yourself. It is not your responsibility to know how to fix it. It's not even your responsibility to know how to go where God is telling us to go. Our responsibility is to be delivered, is to be redeemed. Let me tell you another word for that. To be healed. To be healed. To be healed. My hope is by the end of this week that you love healing as the word as much as I love the word. Because I'm going to tell you, Jesus comes, it says, with healing in His wings. It says when He comes in, the Son of Righteousness, the way He comes into our life is He comes in with healing in His wings. How many of you love what else is in His wings? There's protection in His wings. There's victory in His wings. There's a righteous stand in His wings. There's deliverance. But I'm going to tell you the truth. The way you walk it out is you get into His wings and you get healed into a level we have never been before. And I hear this said a lot in the church. I hear them say, I can't wait for freedom, because we need to really call. We need to really begin to pray. And I hear us pray this way. God, bring in the broken. Bring in the ones that need to be healed. And that is a good prayer. But I'm here to just correct you just a little bit. You need healing. I need healing. This church needs healing. Every area of our life is a place to where God wants to come in and redeem and deliver and to heal. And the only way to do it is for you to get it so in you in every area that it flows out of you, because healing births anointings. Healing births anointings. And I love that everybody else needs to be healed, but I'm going to tell you the truth. I am a hypocrite to say that if I don't start that declaration with, God, I need to be healed. I need to be delivered. I need to be set free. I need to be somebody who washes my hair in the fear of God every day, and I come out delivered, healed, and set free in new levels. God really spoke this word to me a couple of months ago, and he said, your level of anointing has met your level of healing. And he knew, I mean, that made so much sense to me, because it's been a year. How many of you, it's been a year? Ooh, it's been a year. And in this year, in this level, the way I felt, the way I was maneuvering, my spiritual, I could tell it was like a roof over my head. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I don't know. There's like a roof over it. And I kept on, you know, you can only see what you are healed to see. So in every way, I was trying to spiritually, but I was trying to do it in a very natural way. I was trying to do it on something I had learned before. And I'm going to tell you the truth. Every time you stop your healing, you stop your growth, you stop your anointing, you cap what God can do through you. You cap it. You cap it. And I see a lot of ministers do this. A lot of ministers get to a place to where their healing reveals their gifts. Their healing begins to reveal in their life where their giftings are. Their talents are buried. And that's where God had really moved in my life. My healing began to birth a talent or a gift. And it was an anointing. And it was something that was very good. But God really gave me this. He said, you know, you can run on this level, honey, if you want to. If you want to run on the level of healing that you have ran in, do it. A lot of people do it. A lot of people run. If you want to run on the level of your gifts, the level of your anointing will never go beyond what your hands can do. So I don't care what your gifting is. If your gifting is preaching, if it's teaching, if it's singing, if it's whatever your gifting is. If you've gotten healed to a point and you thought at that moment that God was telling me, all right, now you're set free. Can I be really honest with you? This is where God is being really honest with me. I think it's really good for us to let God speak to the church. What God let me know is, if I stop there, I'm capped. He's capped. I've capped him. So where God began to speak to me and reveal to me, he said, you know, your level of anointing has met your level of healing. It is time to get back on that wheel. It is time to get back into a greater level of letting me do things in you that will go beyond. Because I'm going to tell you the truth. God did not plan for us to make it through this life with one gift. That was never his intention. God didn't just give us a gift and say, run with it. Well, think about the man with the talents. What did God say? What did God do? The one that buried him, he took it away. I think you could look at that, you know, through the eyes of healing, man. When we're hurt, it's like it's buried. When we're to a level of winning. So you see, one level of healing is just coming to the place where God can begin to reveal to you the giftings he's giving you. But I'm going to tell you, there was a man with five talents. Do you remember that? There was a man with five talents. And he was able to allow God to do things in him to where it could be more. And where it could be more. This is where we find in our lives, I believe, a walk that a Christian will walk to where God is supernaturally healing us all along the way. All along the way. Because at every level you stop healing, you stop there. But why stop there? Why stop there? Because I'm going to show you in the Word, healing births direction. Healing births direction in your life. How many of you have been in this season and you have felt like, God, man, I'm going to prayer. I'm getting up and I'm seeking you. I'm doing the things that I know you want me to do, but you're having a hard time finding the direction of God to your next level. Is anybody in here, does that bear witness with you? You're like, I know I'm doing things right. Can I be honest with you? Healing births direction. Healing births greater eyesight than you can see on the level where you are healed to. Remember, there was a man that came to Jesus and he said, I have done all of these things, right? And we know he was rich and he was young and he was a ruler. That's what the Bible tells us about him. Now, I'm going to tell you, that guy had at some level of his life begin to access levels of healing and anointing because God was blessing him. And it said he was a giver. And it said that he did good. And he did all of these things. So there were all these different levels, I'm going to tell you, that God had healed him to. And that God was able to anoint him in that area. And that is a good thing. That is a really good thing. So we look at his life and we kind of feel bad, but I'm going to tell you the truth. Look at his life and celebrate it to a point. He was a vessel of honor in so many different areas. He was. But when Jesus came to him and he said, all right. And he kept on saying, you know, there was a hunger. There was a spiritual hunger. There was a spiritual hunger inside of him that was wanting all. And can I tell you the truth? In this season right now, there should be a relentless spiritual hunger in the body of Christ in these end seasons that says, I am relentless for you to heal me so you can fulfill all that you want to do through me. If that is not your heart, I'm not talking to you this morning. Because this message will not mean as much to you as it means to us who are determined to be vessels of honor for the Master's use. And God is giving us a wonderful plan in the Word to teach us how to come into this season and to be broken before Him. Because see, the Bible tells us to be broken. It says that. It says, you break yourself or something's going to happen and you're going to be broken. I would much rather break myself. I've been broken on the other end and I've been broken on this end. It is much better to be broken at the feet of Jesus, having his hands all over it, causing it to be something that's beautiful in the process. So as we begin to, as you see his life, there became levels that God was walking him through. And when it came to a level where it was all. Now, we look at that and we see all, but if you look at that with material eyes. So all of us are on a walk, to be honest with you. None of our walks are the same. We're not in a race against each other. Mr. Craig, I'm not in a race against you, and I am so glad God did not do that to me. I am so glad I am not in a race with Ms. McCray. That would be a sad, sad, sad race to watch. But I'm going to tell you, but we are pressing for a prize. Can I tell you what the prize is? It's to be the vessel that God can use that he created us to be in any season. I'm going to tell you, that video is so clear to me. And it's such the life that we walk. We can't see what God is really wanting to do until he gives us the insight in that area of our life. That insight comes from healing. It comes from healing. Jesus said this. He pulled the disciples under his wing. What's under his wing? What is it? Healing. He pulled his disciples under his wings and he said, now I'm going to tell you, the disciples were hearing the same thing that everybody else was hearing. And pretty much what Jesus was telling them was a lot of the same stuff that he was telling them. But what happened was, because they pulled him under their wing, they were able to be healed to such a level and to a degree because they got close in and they stayed under that potter. And they stayed with him, and they were corrected, and they were loved, and they were formed, and they were molded, and they were shaped into something that was a vessel of honor for a time and season just like this. Just like this. So if you want to stand outside of the time of healing, you will be able to clearly see that God is good. But there is a scripture in Psalms 55 that says, but his testimonies are sure. His testimonies are sure. How does it become a testimony? Because it gets in you, it gets on you, it gets around you, it gets in your hair, it gets in your breath, it gets all over you. It becomes a testimony when it is what God has healed you through and your eyesight goes over it and you can see it clearly. And that's how you know it's sure. So there is this rich young ruler, and his life had all these different components to it that were the anointing of God was there. But when it came to a level of material things, now for me, I'll tell you, that's not a big deal. But to some people, that really is. To some people, that really is. But I will tell you some things that are big deals that God's dealing with right now that are, to me, my level of healing in this season. Don't stop being healed. Don't stop being healed. Because he stopped. He capped his vessel. He went on with the rest of his life in the level he was able to live. And I'm going to tell you the truth. God will walk with you in any level. He loves you. I love it. Stephen said it one time. He said, God couldn't love you any more in this minute. I'm going to tell you the truth. God couldn't love you any more in this minute. We can just receive it more if we get right under his arm and we are right there next to him and we experience his love in greater levels. God's desire is to make us into all he wants to. But we decide that or not. We decide that or not. And God will love you. But God can't use you. God will love you. But he can't use you. Because in the same king's house, it said there was vessels of gold and silver that were for special occasions. I want to be a special occasion spoon. I do. I want to be one of those spoons you pull out for special occasions. I want to be able to be spiritually connected with God to where he knows that when he calls on us or when he breathes into our life, that what he is calling us to do, he knows that we are obedient. I want to be a war horse. There's a bunch of horses all over this world, but I'm going to tell you the truth. There are a few that will choose to walk the line and will be submitted and will be broken down and changed to be a war horse for this kingdom. If you want to be a war horse, I want you to stand on your feet and say, God, that is my desire to be a war horse for your kingdom, to trample the enemy and to not look back. Not look back. Now, you just committed that. You just committed that. Can I tell you the truth? That is a great heart to have. Keep your heart stirred in that area. Stay relentless for the things of God. Stay relentless for the things of God. Stay delivered. Stay set free. Stay on the path of healing. Because we all want to be healers. We all want to be that. We want to be healers. And that's a wonderful desire. But you can't be a healer if you haven't been healed. We all want to be deliverers. We all want to be the Moses who gets up with the stick and parts the Red Sea. But I'm going to tell you, Moses never would have been a deliverer if he hadn't been delivered. If it hadn't been done in him, it never would have flowed out of him. And I'm going to tell you the truth, Moses was delivered time and time and time and time again. He did not get off that wheel because he understood the price that God had paid to put him in that position, and he stayed under the wings. That's why he said, if you don't go, I don't go. Because direction comes as we're healed. All right, Isaiah 57. I got through three of my scriptures this morning in early service. I have a goal to get through maybe five. But I'm excited. I got three services, and I want you to run to healing because you understand what comes from it. You understand what comes from it. See, on the potter's wheel, the potter doesn't make mistakes. God never makes mistakes. So when the pot was marred, that wasn't a potter problem. That was a clay problem. Everybody say, I'm clay. I'm clay. I'm clay. If we get hard, if we get bitter, if we get unforgiving, if we become unpliable, if we become unmoldable, if we get offended, if we become something that will not be formed, that's not a God problem. That is an us problem. And God will love you. But the Bible says that you can be formed into something different. I don't want to be formed into something different. Do you? God has these plans for us that are so beyond what we can see. And I'm going to tell you the truth, don't even try to see them because you can't see them at this level. But as you begin to be healed, you will begin to see the levels that God can use you and the levels that God really cares about. Because God cares a lot less about lifting your name up than he does lifting his name up. God would prefer his name to be lifted up because I'm going to tell you the truth. His name is how we're saved. His name is how we overcome. His name is how that we gain our victories. His name is worth someone running into and finding safety. Our name is not. And until you become a vessel that can bring God honor at that level, you don't have to worry about it. That's not a part of it. But at this level that we are on, at this level where I'm on, God requires the same for me. God requires me to be pliable, healable, moldable, deliverable in every single area so I can be formed for the Master's use. Because God's got some great plans on the horizon for His people, for His people. All right, so it says in Isaiah 57, I'm going to show you this. I'm going to show you how many times, just in a little part of the Bible, that healing is connected with direction. So if you're having a hard time finding direction, when I preach two services back to back, I go back and forth and think, did I say that already or not? That is my biggest issue is I'll come back and I'll say, so did I talk to you about direction? Yes, healing and direction connected? I don't want you, I did? Yes, all right. So when you get into, if you are having a problem, if you feel like you're in an area, and you're doing all the things that God wants you to do, but you're having God is not revealing to you the next direction. I'm going to show you. All you have to do is be healed. So He can bring your eyesight there. All right, Isaiah 57, 18 says, I have seen His ways, say I'm the He, and will heal him and also lead him. And restore. So, what God is telling us here, now who is the him that He's talking about right here? He's talking about His people, but He's talking about areas in their life that need to be changed. How many of you agree? We are in a season where we're going somewhere we have never been before, and for us to get there, we have got to be changed. So this is us God is talking to. There is a changing that has got to go on inside of us for us to be able to even see where to go. So it gives us the answer here. It says, up in 15, I will dwell in the high and holy places. God loves us, but He brings us up. He brings us up. I will dwell in the high and the holy places with Him. Say, this being me, who has a broken and humble spirit. A broken and a humble spirit is not a hard spirit. And when God in this season is calling us somewhere we've never been before, it is the season to fall every day at the feet of Jesus and to approach Him with this heart. God, I need You to break me. I need you to draw me into things that I don't know, because the reason I don't know them is I'm not healed there yet. I need You to draw me into a new level with You, not because what it'll mean to me, but because I can't make it at this level without Your healing. We need to, as much as we pray for healing for others, we need to be dedicated for healing in ourselves. We need to become something that cries out a heart of healing in every area of our life. To revive the spirit of the humble. See, when you come to God broken, God does something supernaturally that you could never change yourself. He revives what He created you to be new in the beginning, and He creates in you a right spirit, new eyesight, better thinking, higher seeing, offensive against the enemy. It brings you up. He says, I have seen His ways. God sees us in this season. And God is telling us, He is saying, be healed. Be healed. And when you're healed, I'll also lead you and I'll restore. I'll tell you how to go back into the devil's camp and drag back all that he has stolen from you and your generations. If you will only in this level, be healed. Be healed. Everybody turn with me, if you will, to Jeremiah 33. I am going to get further. Jeremiah 33:6 is a great, this whole Jeremiah 33 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, but this is, I want to pick out some different parts first. Jeremiah 33:6 says, behold, I will bring it health and healing. Everybody say, I'm the it, and I will heal them, and I will reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth. What God will reveal to his people, when we will come into a place of crying out for healing, will so far surpass anything our minds could even begin to build or do for the kingdom. God has a plan inside of the plan, inside of the plan. I have learned that, if I don't know anything else. God always has a plan. I've just got to be healed enough to see the plan. I've just got to be restored enough to see the plan. I've just got to be delivered enough to see the plan. Because when I am, I see the plan. And I saw it all along if I had had the eyes to see it. If you go right back to these people that God is talking about, he tells them in verse 33:3, he tells them what to call for. He says, call me, but then he tells in 6 what you're calling for. He says, call for healing. He says, call to me, and I will answer you, and I'll show you great and mighty things which you don't know. Can I tell you what that word mighty means? I love this. This is so God. That word mighty means inaccessible things. So what that says is, call to me, call for healing, and I'll answer you, and I'll show you great things that are inaccessible to you until you're healed. There's so many walls that we have between us and God. God didn't put those walls there. We put those walls there. But we don't even know it's a wall. We have no idea it's a wall. So the whole time we think we are loving God with all of our heart, we are to the degree that we are healed. To the degree that we are healed. So when God comes to the church and he begins to pour out the fear of God, our heart's cry should every time be, God, heal me. Save me. Deliver me. Because God is raising our eyesight up to a new level. And it is inaccessible for us unless we're healed. Unless we're healed. See, this is where Israel runs. It's so funny to me because I've read this and God just showed this to me. If you go on to 4, it says, thus says the Lord God, the God of Israel, concerning the house of this city, the house of the kings. So the house of the kings had been pulled down to fortify against the siege mounds. They, being the children of Israel, okay? They, being the children of Israel, come to fight with the Chaldeans. We're going to call them the enemy. It's good to see. Just call them the enemy. They come to fight with the enemy. But the reason the children of Israel came to fight with them was to fill their places with the dead bodies of men. And that seems okay. Okay? But that was not the purpose of God. That was not there. Because God begins to say, whom I will slay in my anger and my fury, for all those with wickedness I've hidden my face from this city. What God is saying is, you might be fighting a battle. How many of you have been fighting a spiritual battle? Wow, some of the enemies attacking you. Yes. But we're only fighting it on a level that is natural in so many areas. Only fighting it on a level that we can see in so many areas. But if we'll get into this battle and pour out a heart cry of being healed, God will show us some things, like he was saying here. They are not the problem even to begin with. What I am planning on doing is healing you to restore some things that he had no idea this was a trap for the enemy in the beginning. But it will only come not out of how hard you fight. I'm going to tell you, it's only going to come out of how healed you can get in this season. In this season. This is what they talk about in Isaiah 58. And I'm not going to look at it. It's talking about fasting. And he comes and he says, you're fasting. And that's a good thing. How many know fasting is a good thing? But they were fasting on one level of a spiritual place. And God comes and says, I'm calling you to be healed. It's in that scripture. Up to a place to where you can fast for things you didn't even know you need. Where you can fast for deliverance in areas you didn't know you need to be delivered. Where you can fast for restoration where you didn't even know it needed to be there. When God heals you, he raises your eyesight into a whole other dimension to where there is nothing that has been seen like that before. How do we go to where we've never been? We get healed. We get healed. We get healed. We get set free. We get redeemed. And Jesus comes in and takes us up there with him in his wings. And I love that process. I'm all on board on that one. I am on board with the Heavenly Father healing us all along the way. Because then when we get there, we are equipped for the Master's work. We are equipped for the Master's work. We are vessels of honor. We are people formed on that wheel into something that only God could do. Because if you try to get anger out of yourself, you're going to be probably the most angry person ever. Because I've done it. And I'm going to tell you, God's... And you know what God came and told me? when he began to work in that area of my life. And I took a year and I tried not to be angry. And I was so angry for a whole year. I mean, it's like when you start fighting things spiritual, and the only way we can fight is really on a level that we see. God began to, after a year of just saying, God, I can't do this. I cannot. God said, you're humble. I made you that way. And but God began to speak to me things that I did not see before. He said, you're gentle. I made you that way. And God began to breathe eyesight when I came to him and I just said, break me. Mold me. Make me into something that you see. And don't take me off of this wheel until you get it right in me. Until you get it right in me. Until you get it right in me. And God is a good, good God. All right, here's one of my favorite scriptures in this season. Everybody turn to Malachi 4. I'm going to prove it to you. All right, did y'all realize right there what came with healing? Direction. Well, what else comes with healing? Revelation. Here is where it says in Malachi 4. It says, but to you who fear my name, I'm going to tell you, the fear of God is the cleansing power of God on our church and in our life. And there's two different ways we can approach this. And I don't know if I've said this in both services, so I'm going to say it again because I'm having that kind of deja vu. There's two different ways we approach the fear of God. When we approach the fear of God, we approach it one way and we say it's a warning. I haven't said this yet, right? It's a warning. And we feel like God is warning us. And that's how we know, a lot of times that'll be a way that we know that we're not approaching it with all of us. We're kind of standing here. It's a warning. But there's another way it says in Psalms 55 that you can approach the fear of God, and it's where it delights you. It's where it excites you. It's where you get on board with it. It's where you see it's so good. It's where you see, hey, this is making me into something that I couldn't make myself. This is changing the situation in ways that I couldn't even understand. The fear of God is something that ushers into our life God, not us. We are poured out when the fear of God is poured in us. And that's the heart of a vessel of honor. It's pour out me and pour in you. Pour out me and pour in you. Is that me? I don't want that. That's a vessel of dishonor if that's me. So it says in Malachi 4, but you who fear my name, you who are cleansed, you who are washed, you who receive it and it delights you, the Son of Righteousness shall arise. Who's the Son of Righteousness? Who? Jesus. Here's what he's telling you. Your best friend, your big brother, your Savior will arise with healing in his wings. He's coming in. And what he's going to do while he's right there healing you? It says you'll go out and grow fat like fat calves. Stall fed calves. That's my story and I'm sticking to it right now. I'm under the wings in this moment. But I'm going to tell you the truth. When you get to a place with God where you're healed, you're okay with you a lot of ways. And that's a good thing, to love the way God is working in your life. To care about the things God cares about. To care and see where God is really supernaturally building you up. And then it says, and I love this because I'm a warrior. It says, then you'll trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. When will you let him be healed? When will God do this? When will God do this? Jesus has came. When will God do this? When we are healed. When we are healed. When we are healed, we will begin to see things unfold in our life that we maybe have been standing dormant. God saying, I'm calling you onto that wheel. Get on it with me. Get on it with me. Get on it with me. Let me give you some other words right here that this healing word is translated as. Because you need to, some of you don't like the word healing. I know that because I hear that. Some of you think healing is for everybody else but you. Healing is how you're saved. Because healing and salvation are the same word. So if you don't like being saved, you don't like being healed. But if you love that God came and brought salvation into your life, you love that you got healed. You love that you got healed. Another word for healing is restoration. How many of you God come in and restore things and brought life back into things and healed things that you had no power to heal? I'm going to tell you another word for healing that God is bringing us to. As God is healing you, he is restoring you. He is restoring your family. He is restoring your marriage. Another word for healing is deliverer. Deliverance. How many of you want to be a deliverer? I mean, honestly, how many of you, you want to be a deliverer? You want to be called to walk out deliverance in your job, in your home, in your church. You want to walk into Walmart and you want everybody to say, I might not know him, but I know you and I know Jesus. You want your name to be a title to somebody that when you walk into places that demons flee. You will never have that level of anointing if you will not move into that level of healing. Because healing ushers in things we could never do in our own natural hands. So, Father, today I do pray. I pray for a greater insight into this season. Lord, I pray for a higher thinking, not in any way in our natural, but in something only that can come out of a healing place in our heart. Look at me just for a second. You know, there's different levels. You know, there were certain people that spent all their time with Jesus. I mean, in the temple. Anna, is that her name? Or Ananias or something? She was one of those women. She wasted her life on God. I'm going to tell you, can I be honest with you? This church needs a lot more people that are wasting their life on God. We need a lot more people that are healing themselves daily in the presence of God in this church and in our prayer and in our altars. We need a heart cry that births out a heart of healing that we maybe have never attained to before, but God is calling us there. God is calling us there. But what happened because she lived at a level of healing, of deliverance, of eyesight, when Jesus walked in as a small boy, she recognized him. She just recognized this little boy walked into the temple with his mom and dad, and she came up, and it was so clear to her that this is the deliverer. This is the deliverer. How can you not see that? She could not fall down and worship him because her eyes could see what other people could not see because she lived a life of healing. A life of healing. I'm going to ask you, do you want this season to be what God has called this season to be? I'm going to give you a story. Because I feel like it is so. I've been praying, God, give me a life experience. Give me a story where this is so clear for people to see. Because it's all in the Word, and I'm going to show it tonight. But so he gave it to my husband. And I love him. And I asked him to speak, but he said, you got a bigger mouth. So that's where I get that time. So God has really blessed Mike into a level. And it's been so good to see God do that. But I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm the wife. It's came out of healing. I've watched him be healed in so many different areas. In so many areas, I'm like, I'm so glad I'm not on the wheel in that area, buddy. And it's so good to see what God has planned for people. So he went on a trip last week. And while he was there, he got up early in the morning. And he said, God, man, really just begin to speak to him and convict him and to talk to him about really. Gideon, I'm so sorry. You have to take that one out, okay? Gideon Bibles. We like the Gideon Bibles. All right, so in it is very King James Version, but it was an incredible scripture in Psalms. And God said, take a picture of it. I want you to use it. He's like, okay. That's just a level of obedience. Let me tell you, levels of obedience come in our life every day, just like that. Every day God comes to you and he says, just do this for me. Just trust me right here and maneuver this way. Just get a little bit over into this side right here and see what it does for you. So he took a picture of it and he went on. And the rest of the day he didn't really think about it. And he got on an airplane to fly back from Virginia to Atlanta. And the whole flight, that scripture never came to his mind. So then he got on another flight from Atlanta to Little Rock. And when he got there, his plane was delayed. And almost every plane he's had in the last couple of trips. And I'm telling you, if something like that's going on, God's trying to do some things. He just is. So he got there and he said he was just waiting there. And God began to tell him, everybody was griping, everybody was complaining, everybody was upset. And God began to tell him, again to say, be thankful. Oh, be thankful. You got so many things to be thankful for. But I tell you, no matter who you are, you got so many things to be thankful for. Be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful. See, because I'm going to tell you tonight, there are a whole bunch of things that we don't think are that big. I'm going to tell you, God calls them really big. He calls them demonic doors in the enemy. And unthankfulness is one of them. A disobedience is one of them. Selfish ambition. It's a lot of things that God is, in this season, is trying to purify us and to be vessels of honor. So God told him to be thankful. And so he just began to have a whole little thankful party in the airport. God, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. When you get on the roll of the healing of God, that he's pushing out any unthankfulness that's in you, it'll bubble up out of your spirit and it'll excite you. And it began to pour out of him and pour out of him. So he walked into that airport and he sat down on that plane and he had reserved a whole seat for himself. You know, you can pick your own seats, and he made sure that he had a good place. You know, because we're like really private people. And he found his own little spot there. And he sat there and he saw this lady, he said, walk in from the very back. And it was very obvious from the sight that she was very sick. She was like swollen nose, swollen, you know, eyes. It just, he said snot was all over her. My husband's a little germophobic. I'm not at all. That's why God put us together. And so he's like, she just had snot everywhere. He said, of course she came and she sat by me, right beside me. He said, so the whole, probably first 5 minutes, I was trying to see if there was another seat available I could switch to. And he said, then God just said, be thankful. Be thankful. Know that I want to use you as a vessel of honor for my kingdom. So Mike said he did everything he could to not touch the germs, but to be thankful and to be in that moment. And he said, God just began to really impress on his heart. I mean, pray for her. Pray for her. So he leaned his head this way, not that way. And he said, the more he prayed, the more it was like snot was coming out. It was very, very, he's like, Crystal, people don't get sick like that. And it was very, you know, and he said, he just laid on his head and he began to pray. He began to pray for her. About God, what would, but that there is something right here. And he thought for sure God was going to heal her. And he prayed for that. And he prayed for that. And as he began to pray, he began to hear something different. I'm going to tell you, on the level we are, we can't hear and see right. But when we allow God to bring up our thoughts and our eyes, and as he began to pray, he began to hear her weeping. Weeping from the deepest dark parts of her soul. A cry that only comes in one of the desperate moments of need that we'll ever be in. And she began to realize she's not sick. She is pouring out her heart. She is in great need. She needs a deliverer moment. She needs a deliverer moment. She needs Jesus. And he said, God told him, I gave you the answer for her. It's in your phone. You remember that? And now this is Virginia, and this is heading to Little Rock. And so Mike said, that is the most, not Mormon, but King James version of that scripture. He said, if I hand her that, she's going to think that I am super. But Jesus said, you know what? You're the vessel I created for this moment. You would be thankful. You would pray. You brought your eyes out. You heard. You're the vessel I created for this moment. So he took out his little phone and he said, you know, he said, this morning you were on God's heart. In such a dramatic way that he had me to take this and say, carry this wherever you go, because something or somewhere, this is going to be needed. He said, so you mean a lot to God, and he wanted me to share this with you. So that lady took that phone and began to read it, and then really started snotting after that. Really started snotting after that. Do you know why? She said, I got a call this morning. She said, my dad just had a car wreck and he died. She said, my life is over. I'm broken. But she said, with this right here, I can make it. Can I tell you, with this right here, you can make it. With this right here, you can make it. God needs men and women that will be vessels of honor for his use, that will use their lives to be poured out for him wherever, whenever, however. But it takes a healing to get us to that place. So I'm going to ask you tonight, I want them to lower the lights. If this message is not for you, don't stay. Don't stay. But if this message is for you, I want you to know something, that God is calling us, each and every one of us that hear the call, to be healed, to be delivered. How, where, how, why? It is not in our plans. It is not in our hands. He is the master. And His hands are all over you. He knows how to do it. He knows why to do it. And as you move into healing, you're going to move into fulfilling things that God has spoken to you your entire life, I believe, all about church. So I want us to just close our eyes. And I want us to cry out a cry that came out of Jeremiah when God began to bring a fear of God in his life. And he said, "Heal me, God, and I will be healed." See, if you ask God to heal you, He is a healer. There's no question. He will heal you. We're all on a path. We all have different levels. So at this altar, I have water. Why? Why are there water bowls right here at this altar? Because some of us need to be cleansed. Some of us need the muck, the mire, the dirt, the grub. We need it cleaned off of us. So if you need to be cleansed, I want you to come down and get your hands in that water and wipe it all over your mind, over your hands, over your mouth, over your ears. I want you to do something spiritual that God will honor and will heal your land. If you're broken, I've been broken. I'm all the time finding new areas I'm broken. You know, the Bible says that Jesus was broken for us. And every time I've taken communion, you know what I've done? I've broken the bread. And I say, God, I might be broken right here, but you were broken and you overcame it. So as I break this bread and I put it inside of me, I am becoming whole. See, He did it so we didn't have to. And if the enemy is tormenting you with your future not secure, I'm going to tell you, there's anointing oil down here. Because see, Samuel came and anointed David way before he was formed and ready. Can I tell you the truth? My mouth is anointed no matter how much I have to go to be able to be the vessel of honor that God has called me to be. I'm going to anoint my mouth every day because my mouth is not the enemy's, it's His. So if you need to anoint a part of your life that you know God has claimed to be His and you have a hard time walking that out, anoint it. Anoint it and let the devil know this is not his mouth. This is not his mind. These are not his ears. These are not his hands. This is not his vessel. This vessel is anointed for the kingdom. And I'm going to open up these altars to such a level of healing that only God knows to do in you. Because I'm not the healer. But I know Him. And I believe that He wants to come to this church today and to do things we could never do for ourselves. So if Stephen will begin to play, and if you feel God is saying, be healed. Be healed to be fulfilled. Be healed to see things in this season very different than you've seen them before. Come and partake a part. Come find a place at the altar and make a decision. I will not cap what God is wanting to do for me. I'm going to let Him do it all for me. Every area of my life needs to be healed in some way. So in some way, everyone in here needs to be leveled, to be healed, so we can become greater vessels of honor for His kingdom. And say, God, begin with me. Begin with me. Begin with me. Father, we come to you this morning as a body, determined with all of our heart to allow you to form us in whatever way you choose. Holy Spirit, reveal in our lives the areas that you want to put on that wheel and draw us to greater direction, to greater insight. Take us where we've never been before, but only take us there as we are healed in your wings to fulfill it. In Jesus' name.
I believe you're my healer. I believe you are all I need. I believe you're my portion.
I believe God is wanting to bring this church into. I want you to say, behold, God, you desire truth in my inward part, not just on my outer shell, not just on what other people see, on the inside of me, you desire truth, which is God's answer, which is God's plan, which is God's word. Lord, and in the hidden part, you're in a hidden part this morning. You've came down to a hidden place. The world knows nothing about what the presence of God does for His people. The world knows nothing about what healing births in the heart of a deliverer. But I'm going to tell you, God knows the hidden parts. And in the hidden parts, it says, you'll make known to me the wisdom. I want you to say, God, you'll make known to me the insight. You'll make known to me the understanding. You'll make known to me the ability that I can do what you are calling me to do by being dependent on you. It says, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. So, Father, I pray this morning that you are cleansing this church. You are cleansing your body, that the blood was poured out so that there was a price that was large enough to pay for all that you are wanting to do. Purge us, God, I pray. Wash me. Wash me and declare out of your mouth, if you came down here for washing, say, I am clean. I am whiter than snow. I am whiter than snow. Make me hear joy. Make me hear gladness. That the bones that are broken may rejoice to God. So if God broke you at this altar, don't leave this altar without saying, God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for bringing me to this place that I never would have found on my own. Thank you for delivering me in a way that only a deliverer could do. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for showing me things I would not have known to even look for. God, the answer is you and me. You and me. Not you outside of me. You and me. Father, I pray that you'll see this altar as a love offering poured out before you, God, saying we're broken. God, we're needy, we're humble, but we know the healer. We know the deliverer, and we're asking you, Father, to fill us up into such a level where in our inward parts, you rule and you reign, and where everything that you are wanting us to do, we can do it as vessels of honor for your kingdom and for your glory. You don't just want average horses. You want a war horse. You want someone who is focused on seeing and doing things in your way and for your glory. I want you to say, God, get your glory out of my life. Use me in the most unique circumstances, in the most odd places, to lift your name up to where nobody knows about it but me and you. And you get to see the heart of an obedient child, lavishly being loved by their King. And Father, I pray that you will use this season to form only what you can do in us. Lord, don't take us off the wheel. Don't let us get too far away that we don't understand this is good for us. That this is good for us. So I thank you, Father, where you have said, be healed. We've come this morning, God, and we have cried out with a heart that says, heal us, God. And we are healed. Save us, God. And we are saved. Not for our glory, but so you can get all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. And praise him in this church. Take a moment and praise your King. Praise your deliverer. Praise him who is worthy. Who is worthy. Who is worthy. Father, we trust. I want you to know we can trust this season, church. We can trust this path. Because what comes after healing is direction and eyesight and open doors. God is leading us somewhere, and we're going to get into all, get it all in us, get it all over us, get it all about us, so we can be different vessels for his kingdom. For his kingdom.